after any new book comes out, there's a pretty steep learning curve on how to answer questions. Because some people have said, wow, you know, I can ask you any question about your books and you can answer it quickly. And part of the reason is because I've been asked the questions a lot. And honestly, I'm not nearly as smart as my answers make me seem, because the first 15 times I'm asked a question about a book, I usually go, wow, that's a good question. I have no idea. And then answers develop over time. And so once you've been asked the question 10 times, or once I've been asked the question 10 times, I'll have an okay answer. And then once I've been asked it 30 times, then I usually have a pretty decent answer. And something happened. We released Bright Green Lies a week ago, and we did an event that had a Q&A. And there was a question that I think I'm going to get a lot. And there's a question I've thought about for years, but I was not particularly happy with my answer. But of course, 10 minutes after we turned off the event, then an answer came to me, as they always do. And I liked the new answer better. So the question was about, well, I'll back up a little bit. Bright Green Lies is really about how wind and solar won't save the planet. They're not really good for the planet. They won't even save the economy. You can't run industrial economy on wind and solar. But more importantly, they do harm the planet. And in order to maintain the fiction that they are good for the planet and that they will run the economy, they have to make all sorts of claims that just simply aren't factual. And I mean, one of them is, we all know the solar photovoltaics don't grow on trees. They require mining, which is incredibly polluting. They require destruction of the land where they are put in, like in the Mojave Desert. Same with wind. They're incredibly destructive. And also, the only people who want wind and solar, or oil and gas for that matter, are people who require industrial levels of energy. And we all know that you can't have a planet and consume it too. We all know that these technologies have downsides that are never discussed by the Bright Greens. And they're always dismissed. And so the question was, do the promoters of these bright green ideologies really believe, or not, another example is that they will claim that Munich is going 100% renewable electricity, and they'll say Munich is going to go 100% renewable energy. Los Angeles is going to go 100% renewable energy. And they repeat these claims over and over, but it's just not true. The truth is that Munich is pledging to go 100% quote renewable end quote electricity, which is only 20% of energy. But they keep repeating that it's 100% of energy. And do they believe this? I mean, it's not. And the other thing that they don't acknowledge is that the majority of quote renewable end quote electricity or energy in Germany is from biomass, which is cutting down trees, cutting down forests and burning them. And it's also from another form of biomass would be growing things like turnips or whatever that you're going, or corn that you're going to convert into liquid fuel. It's not wind and solar. Wind and solar are a very small amount, but so the point is that I was asked this question for the first time, and I'll be asked this question many times. Do they really believe these lies? And the answer I gave, I sort of muddled through, you know, I don't know, and gave some stories about what I guess. But here's how I'm going to answer that question in the future, which is, do the people who promote the bright green ideology, do they really believe the lies that they're saying? And I'm going to say, it actually doesn't matter whether they believe those lies or not, because the truth is that all that's important is that if they themselves didn't exist, capitalism would have to create them. Capitalism would have to find someone else who does whether they believe it or not, promote those, because capitalism needs for those lies to be promoted. And if any of the people who are currently promoting them were not, they're fungible. They are replaceable. They could be replaced by somebody else who would promote them in a heartbeat. That's how capitalism works. It's like people get really stuck on personalities, you know. They argue, gosh, you know, Trump is the source of all evil, or Obama is the source of all evil, or Biden is the source of all evil, or Bush is the source of all evil, depending on your political perspective. But it's a self-selection process. It's, if you're not a sociopath, you're not going to end up as in charge of one of the largest economies and largest military, and by far the largest military power in the world. People who are interested in power are going to end up in positions of power. And it's the same with the other. You know, I saw the other day someone commented somewhere that if they could have a time-traveling set of assassins, that one person on their list would be Michel Foucault, for the harm he has done to women and to gay people, to lesbians. And I'm not arguing in favor of time-traveling assassins here, so don't get that. The point is that I don't really agree with that, because had Foucault not existed, the culture would have created him. The culture did create him, but the culture would have found somebody else, and we would be citing much the same arguments, but it would be somebody else who said it. And so the real point is that it doesn't matter whether Bill McKibben and Naomi Klein and Josh Fox and all the others actually believe the things that they say that are not accurate. The important thing is that they are absolutely necessary to the functioning, and if they didn't exist, somebody else would.